Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday, and on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, each week we go into detail what we see as important news for this past week. And wow, what was last week like? Other than Valentine's Day, I hope you got plenty of Valentines. And we celebrated a week of love on Valentine's week. But what else happened? There was a joint news conference between Bibi Netanyahu and Donald Trump at the White House. First time they'd had the official meeting of him being president. We're going to talk about some of the things that were said. Profound things were said. And we got an article from Thomas Friedman, New York Times columnist, written many books. He had a message for Donald Trump about the two-state solution, and that was mentioned at the press conference. We'll be playing some of that. And before we get into that, it was a rough week because the first Trump official flailed out. Flynn, General Flynn. You remember General Flynn? He was the National Security Advisor and to the president. Remember, you don't have to go through the confirmation process for that position. And General Flynn got in. And do you remember on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics? Think back to the Republican National Convention. We had an exclusive interview with General Flynn there on the floor of the Republican National Convention. Here, let me play a clip of it, and let's see how that compares to what happened last week.
Wake-up call for America. This is a wake-up call for America because there is a movement, there is a shift occurring in our country, and the people are going to take this country back. And they're going to do it in the way we're seeing it. And I believe that we're going to see some great changes, some big leadership, some really smart decision-making, some policy that's going to make the rest of the world feel, wow, America really is back. They are, you know, under this guy, these people, they got their stuff together. That's what's going to happen.
Well, listeners, that was Doc Holliday's exclusive interview last summer on the floor of the Republican National Convention there in Cleveland, Ohio. And what General Flynn told me then and what just happened last week was totally different. He was right. The American people wanted change, and the American people elected Donald Trump, and Donald Trump chose him to be the National Security Advisor to the president. And General Flynn has resigned under pressure, lost the confidence. He had the vice president to go out and say that General Flynn had not spoken to the Russian ambassador about sanctions. And guess what? He did. But why do we know he did? That is even more serious to me. And what you'll see is the press going crazy about General Flynn, and they wanted a scalp. They thought they were going to get the Secretary of Education, Nancy DeVos, they didn't. And Vice President Mike Pence went in the confirmation hearings after the hearings, and he voted for her to break a 50-50 tie in the U.S. Senate. They did not get her scalp. They tried to get Jeff Sessions' scalp. They tried to get so many scalps. And General Flynn, did they get his scalp? Somebody got his scalp. I think Donald Trump was in his process of seeing how he could ease him out? We don't know. But we do know this. Someone in the intelligence community who knew that the vice president had said something that was a lie because they had information, because they had listened to the conversation between the Russian ambassador and General Flynn. They had a written written transcript. Now that's classified information, but it was leaked to the press, New York Times, Washington Post. So what happened? That was a criminal action, leaking to the press. And now, should somebody be punished? Do they need to find a leak? Yes, they do. I mean, you and me, if we did something like that, we'd be in prison. But if Hillary Clinton gets by with that, maybe everybody feels like they can get by with lawlessness. Under Barack Obama, I said his legacy, looking back, will be a legacy of lawlessness. And so where do we stand? Well, General Flynn, I'll just have to say this. General Flynn is what that little clip I played that he's talked about on the floor of the National Convention. He was so excited, and he got to be a part of the Trump administration. But he's lying. Can you have trust in someone you know is not telling you the truth? When it comes to national security, it's important. So, yes, General Flynn's gone. I think he should go. If you lose the trust of the president, you don't need to be around. Now, did he do something illegal? I think the press is going to keep pressing on this because they got the scalp and they just want to keep on the warpath and see what else they can put a hook in and do anything to bring down Donald Trump, who is trying to drain the swamp. But like one commentator said, the swamp is rising up. And so it's a stink there. Our nation is, and the success of President Trump is so important. So I hope this can, General Flynn's scalp can put some things behind, get the president on board as far as national security. And let's get moving, because so much has to be done. Now, we got to talk about Israel and the United States. And let me play a part of this clip that was from the press conference when President Bibi Netanyahu had this to say, the Prime Minister of Israel had this to say about the new President of the United States and about Israel and America.
President Trump, thank you for the truly warm hospitality you and Melania have shown me, my wife Sarah, our entire delegation. I deeply value your friendship. To me, to the state of Israel, it was so clearly evident in the words you just spoke. Israel has no better ally than the United States. And I want to assure you, the United States has no better ally than Israel. Our alliance has been remarkably strong, but under your leadership, I'm confident it will get even stronger.
Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu had to be careful not to just say he hated 8 years under Barack Obama, trying to be a friend with Barack Obama, but he did say it was a warm welcome in the White House. And I guess he implied it had been a chilly welcome by Barack Obama. And those who remember the first time he came to the White House under Barack Obama, President Obama got up and left and left him by himself eating dinner, and not a warm relationship. And it never did really warm up. And with what Obama did with the Iran deal during his last year of his administration, and then one of the last things after Trump had won, making a UN resolution, letting it go through, that really just the UN stuck a knife in Israel, and President Obama let it happen. So nothing lost there with Obama leaving, and a lot to gain, it seems like, President Trump has only been in it 3 weeks when this press conference happened. So that's one thing noticed right off the bat. There was a warm welcome. Now, what they did do, and we're going to talk about this in the second half of the show, is the reporters asked about a two-state solution. And Donald Trump said he could see whichever one they wanted, the Palestinians and Israelis. A one-state solution, he could see it working, or a two-state solution. No president has said that in the last 20 years since the Oslo talks back in the early 90s. So what is going on with that? Well, let's go to an article by Thomas Friedman, and he really just talked about how President Trump had now this time in history could, what he titled the opinion page was President Trump, Will You Save the Jews? By Thomas Friedman. And it came out on February 15th. You want to look it up. And that's in the New York Times. And he pretty much said, Dear President Trump, these are the moments to make or break a presidency. First, you were tested by rival Russia and utterly failed to appreciate the corrosive impact on our democracy of your indulgence of Russia's hacking our election. So anyway, here's a liberal, Thomas Friedman, hammering. I've read Thomas Friedman. I like what he says for the most part on many things. He has a way of giving you a fresh look at things, but he's still the same old liberal. And he said, what you need to understand, President Trump, is he's telling President Trump that don't let Netanyahu's weakness, he called Bibi Netanyahu weak, and he said, don't let his weakness let you look at a one-state solution. He said, that will utterly destroy the Jewish nation, and it's up to you to make sure you still have a two-state solution going forward. Now, this is the same spiel that's been going on through administration after administration. Thomas Friedman says, hang on to that policy that just doesn't seem to work, but maybe you can make it work. Well, maybe President Trump knows how to negotiate, and you come to the negotiating table with different ideas, and what so many on the left, including Thomas Friedman, don't get is you keep trying to hammer in this solution, and then one reason it doesn't work is right now the Palestinians do not recognize the right of Israel to exist. And so we're going to play some of that, like I said, in the second half for Prime Minister Netanyahu will reply to that and talk about why two conditions that need to be done. And Thomas Friedman doesn't say anything about those conditions. And he just talks about Jewish history and the Jewish nation and Jews as a whole. He said they're not going to back a one-state solution. Does he live in Israel? I don't think so. So maybe we need to listen to the President Trump's ideas. Maybe we need to listen to Netanyahu's ideas. But more than that, maybe we need to listen to the region. So those are some things. But Thomas Friedman, representing the liberal left, representing what Barack Obama tried for 8 years, keep saying you got to give up land, give up all security. And what happens? We don't have a peace agreement. The Palestinians are getting more and more money from European nations, from Barack Obama. And, if you keep getting money coming in, then why should they do anything else other than what they want to try to do, the two-state solution, and which is really their one-state solution is because they will not get rid of the charter of the Hamas that says we exist to destroy Israel. That's basically what it says. Now, one thing I wanted to get to as they were speaking, there was the former ambassador to the United States from Israel, Ron Prosser, had this to say when he was asked about during the press conference. They had made the Donald Trump had said that he wished that Netanyahu would stop the slowdown on the settlements in the West Bank. And of course, the Palestinians leader came out and said, "We agree with Donald Trump on that. What will Israel do?" So this is what the former ambassador had to say about that.
I mean, of course, Abu Mazen, you know, that of course is something that he's going to take. But what he should try and do is stop incitement, you know, stop naming streets and squares on suicide bombers, and basically get back to direct negotiations, because he's been trying to circumvent and run away. And by doing that, you know, he won't achieve peace. And I want to really say that there's an additional thing we didn't talk about, and that's, you know, Hezbollah and Iran back in the axis of evil. At the end of the day, you know, it's important to transmit who the good guys are and who the bad guys are at this equation. And I think the important thing is that this administration sees with Israel eye to eye on the Iranian issue, on the fact that radical Islam and terror should be eradicated, and three, sees Israel as a strategic asset for the United States and the region. And that's...
Now, that was former ambassador to the United States from Israel, Ron Prosser, on Fox Business News. And we play that clip, but now, and what he was saying was, what the Palestinians need to check out, to get rid of their terrorists, and stop praising the terrorists, stop naming streets, and basically paying the families for terrorism. So that was Ron Prosser, former ambassador of the United States. Now, if you want to know what the present Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, has to say on Up to Date about Israel, you can order my book that I got. It's called The Biblical Case for Israel. And I say it's my book. I got the book that you can order, but I have one chapter in it. There's chapters by many great authors, and also the present ambassador to the United States from Israel, Ron Dermer, got his foreword in this book. So go order the book, and you can go to www.docholiday.org. That's Holiday of two L's, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y, Doc Holiday, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y.org. On the front book, if you look at my past book, Bedrock Truths, you can clip on that. It'll take you to the book page on my website, where you can order that book or this new book about Israel, and we'll be glad to ship that out to you. And I appreciate those who have ordered. Got some shipping out, and I appreciate that. It helps keep the show on the air. But not only that, this book has just come out. It gives you an update. Now, one thing I was telling you about a while ago when I was talking about Thomas Friedman, and this is something the liberal side always puts in, and they start saying, will Israel be an apartheid state like South Africa? In this book, there's a chapter by a man who lived in South Africa. He was kicked out of South Africa because he was against apartheid as a pastor, and he knew it was wrong, and he was against it, and he had to leave for his own safety. And which country took him in? The nation of Israel. Now, if you want to know why Israel is not an apartheid state, you need the book, The Biblical Case for Israel. And there's a whole chapter on why Israel is not an apartheid state, from someone who lived in an apartheid state under the apartheid government of South Africa. Now, I've talked about the book, pushing it, about this whole show entirely, almost, is on Israel and America and the relationship now building between Donald Trump and Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu. And I just have to tell you, I don't know there's another more exciting chapter in world history and what's going on in the Middle East and what's so important, this relationship. And if you really want to get a grip on it, order this book called The Biblical Case for Israel. And you can get it. Be one of your first of your friends to get it and talk about it. Doc Holliday says order it now, and I hope you will. So let's get on to the second half of the show. I'm going to play this and see if this is after Michael Flynn had to fly the coop of the Trump administration. Let's see. This is one of Donald Trump's favorite songs. Maybe he has to listen to it a little of his own now. Oh, yes, Mr. President, President Donald Trump, you may not always get what you want, but let's hope he'll get what he needs in a new national security advisor. That song that you hear with President Trump many times at the convention, at rallies, and now he's having to take a little bit of his own medicine and may not get what you want, but you'll find you get what you need. And let's hope he'll get his team together. Donald Trump, I think he'll have to get everything lined up and in order. He's had a tumultuous time with the press, and we need, for the sake of our nation, to move forward and in national security. Let's do that. Now, again, going back, Netanyahu and President Trump. Take a listen to what President Trump had to say about the one state or two state solution at the press conference last week.
So I'm looking at two state and one state, and I like the one that both parties like. I'm very happy with the one that both parties like. I can live with either one. I thought for a while the two state looked like it may be the easier of the two. But honestly, if Bibi and if the Palestinians, if Israel and the Palestinians are happy, I'm happy with the one they like the best. As far as the embassy moving to Jerusalem, I'd love to see that happen. We're looking at it very, very strongly. We're looking at it with great care, believe me. And we'll see what happens. Okay?
Now, would you have ever heard those words spoken by Barack Obama during 8 years? Would he say anything but a two-state solution? Maybe it takes somebody like President Donald Trump to shake things up, to get things going. President Obama couldn't get the Palestinians and Israelis to even come to the table. The only time they came to the table was when he paid the Palestinians hundreds of millions of dollars just to come to the table and meet with John Kerry at one point several years ago. And they got there, took the money, and ran. That's how they treated President Obama. And so, yeah, let's get a new look. Let's get somebody like Donald Trump to shake things up, look for a new way, and what may happen. And this is right after President Trump said that. This is what Prime Minister Netanyahu had to say.
Thank you. I read yesterday that an American official said that if you ask five people what two states would look like, you'd get eight different answers. Well, Mr. President, if you asked five Israelis, you'd get 12 different answers. But rather than deal with labels, I want to deal with substance. It's something I've hoped to do for years in a world that's absolutely fixated on labels and not on substance. So here's the substance. There are two prerequisites for peace that I laid out several years ago. And they haven't changed. First, the Palestinians must recognize the Jewish state. They have to stop calling for Israel's destruction. They have to stop educating their people for Israel's destruction. Second, in any peace agreement, Israel must retain the overriding security control over the entire area west of the Jordan River, because if we don't, we know what will happen. Because otherwise, we'll get another radical Islamic terrorist state in the Palestinian areas, exploding the peace, exploding the Middle East. Now, unfortunately, the Palestinians vehemently reject both prerequisites for peace. First, they continue to call for Israel's destruction. inside their schools, inside their mosques, inside the textbooks. You have to read it to believe it. They even deny, Mr. President, our historical connection to our homeland. And I suppose you have to ask yourself, why are Jews called Jews? Well, the Chinese are called Chinese because they come from China. The Japanese are called Japanese because they come from Japan. Well, Jews are called Jews because they come from Judea. This is our ancestral homeland. Jews are not foreign colonialists in Judea. So, unfortunately, the Palestinians not only deny the past, they also poison the present. They name public squares in honor of mass murderers who murdered Israelis, and I have to say, also murdered Americans. They pay monthly salaries to the families of murderers, like the family of the terrorist who killed Taylor Force, a wonderful young American, a West Point graduate, who was stabbed to death while visiting Israel. So this is the source of the conflict. The persistent Palestinian refusal to recognize a Jewish state in any boundary, this persistent rejectionism, that's the reason we don't have peace. Now that has to change. I want it to change. Not only have I not abandoned these two prerequisites of peace, they've become even more important because of the rising tide of fanaticism that has swept the Middle East and has also, unfortunately, infected Palestinian society. So I want this to change. I want those two prerequisites of peace, substance, not labels. I want them reinstated.
Doc Holliday jumping in here. I just have to say, can you hear the passion of Netanyahu's voice? Can you see that he is committed to peace, but not when the Palestinians will only pledge to destroy the nation of Israel? How can you make a peace pact? But he continued, and this is very important to know why it's so difficult to get a peace agreement there in the Middle East. But Prime Minister Netanyahu continued. Listen to what he has to say.
But if anyone believes that I, as Prime Minister of Israel, responsible for the security of my country, would blindly walk into a Palestinian terrorist state that seeks the destruction of my country, they're gravely mistaken. The two prerequisites of peace, recognition of the Jewish state and Israel's security needs west of the Jordan, they remain pertinent. We have to look for new ways, new ideas on how to reinstate them and how to move peace forward. And I believe that the great opportunity for peace comes from a regional approach, from involving our newfound Arab partners in the pursuit of a broader peace and peace with the Palestinians. And I greatly look forward to discussing this in detail with you, Mr. President, because I think that if we work together, we have a shot.
And President Trump promised to work with Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. He went on and at the press conference, they talked about how President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu have known each other for years, for decades. He even mentioned about, he remembered Jared, Donald Trump's son-in-law. I used to be smaller. They've known each other for years. Now, what does this mean for the Middle East? Did you catch what Prime Minister Netanyahu said? He said, we may bring this into a regional plan. A regional plan. What does that mean? You got allies like Egypt, Saudi Arabia. They don't like Iran. They don't like Hezbollah. What's going on with the move of the Iranian influence and power? So it is putting into play a regional plan that may work to get peace where we haven't seen it before. We got to think out of the box. You got to think differently. We're Thomas Friedman. They keep wanting to try to knock a square peg into a round hole. They've been doing it for 20 years now, over 20 years, 25 years basically from the Oslo Accords, and they're not getting anywhere. Why not have a fresh approach? Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and his friendship with Bibi Netanyahu, maybe this is just bigger than anything that any president has done before. Let's see. But we've devoted this show to help you better understand what's going on in Israel. We've said it many times. You have to watch the nation of Israel, this little spot in the world that has a small population compared to the world population. Somebody said, you know, less than 0.1%. I mean, they're 7-8 million people. I'm telling you, out of what, 7 billion? And yet, so many things revolve around what's going on now in the Middle East. And President Obama left in a shambles. I mean, it's just a shambles with the Syrian civil war still going on. Just destabilizing forces, giving Iran $150 billion. And again, it was held in assets. We were holding those assets. And any kind of decent negotiator would say, we'll give you $10 billion a year as you check off these checklists of what you're doing right. But no, he handed it to them all at once. I mean, how crazy can you get? I mean, crazy, crazy. And sending over $1 billion in cash? Oh, man, to get hostages? It's ransom. It was a ransom payment. What I... legacy of lawlessness. Let's forget about that. Let's move forward and let's see what President Trump can do with a new national security advisor and a nation ready for change. Let's get it. Let's get it going. You're going to find out what's going on here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Can't wait to next week to tell you what's going on. And you've listened to things here you won't hear anywhere else. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. Don't forget to pick up the new book. Go to docholliday.org and check it out. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.